Well, hey, everybody. My name is Josh Erickson, and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And I want to say welcome to you and grateful to have this time with you for our online service. We are grateful to have this time with you whenever you might be watching it. And please know that we're here to help you in any way we can. Well, today we're wrapping up our sermon series, Becoming Better Humans, as we look at the final fruit of the Spirit that will help us understand better who God wants us to be and how and why it's so important for us to invest in our relationships with others. Well, we've been in a journey together over the last few weeks looking at the passage from the book of Galatians that is all about those fruit of the Spirit coming alive in us. And they are very important. There's love, joy, and patience. There's kindness, faithfulness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control, which leaves us with just one more aspect of the fruit of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit to look at. And the last one we have out there for us to look at is peace. Peace is part of what God wants to grow in our lives, and peace is part of what God wants us to pursue. And when we have more peace and pursue more peace, we become the humans God wants us to be. Now, as I've shared about a couple of these different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit or these fruits, is that some of these are really exactly when we read them, we know what they mean. And some of them, we have to dive deeper into the context and the background to understand what is specifically being called out here in this sense of what Paul was writing about in Galatians to the people, these real people in a real place 2,000 years ago, give or take, and what they were struggling with. Now, I'm going to draw a connection here to a different passage in the scriptures that helps us get a better glimpse of what peace looks like when it grows in us. Now, get a little nerdy for just a minute here. There is a Greek word behind all of these because the New Testament was written in Greek, ancient Greek. And in particular, this word peace here is used in different places in the scriptures and in the New Testament. And one of the places that this particular use and this particular meaning of peace is used is in a book called James. Now, James is a letter that we think was written by the brother of Jesus, James. And he writes to the people in the early church about some concerns they're having. So this sense of peace that is being driven after both in Galatians and in James's letter here that he wrote is not a global peace. It's not a peace amongst the nations, because that's a concern elsewhere in scripture, but it's a particular concern about having relational harmony in our lives with the real people in our families, in our churches, in our workplaces, we would say, school, wherever we go, having relational harmony in our lives. That's the kind of peace that when we think about this particular sense of how God wants us to grow, God is hoping we'll pursue. Now, in the book of James, in the situation that James was worried about in the early church was the fact that there was a lack of peace amongst the early church, amongst a particular group of people probably, but we're not quite sure who he was writing to. But the particular issue that they were having was not enough peace, which means there was a lot of conflict. And it's fascinating when you look at the story and look at the writing of James, what he describes to the cause of the conflict, the cause of the lack of peace amongst them. And James draws a connection to the lack of peace coming from envy and selfish ambition. That he says that the root cause of conflict, that is then the absence of peace, the absence of the relational well-being and congruence amongst the people that you care about, is envy and selfish ambition. And when we focus on those, James says, that we focus on the things that then cause conflict or the lack of peace. So to put that on the positive spin, the way to gain peace is to not be envious and to not have selfish ambition in our lives. And when we do that, we breed relational harmony. We breed the kind of relationships that we want. We have our focus on the things that will achieve peace in our lives. That is something that God wants for us. Now, let's take that a little bit further to understand what we're talking about, how this plays out. Because one of the things that happens here is if the root cause of relational discord or the lack of peace is envy and selfish ambition, how do we avoid that in our lives? It's very difficult because a lot of our media, a lot of social media is really almost designed to keep us on our phones, but specifically to want more and to be envious or jealous of other people. And when we pursue the more, when we pursue the things that we don't really need or we don't really want, but all of a sudden we want them because they popped up in our observance or our understanding of what we think we want, then we get into trouble because we do things that cause problems in our relationships. We do things that cause problems to ourselves, and we sow that kind of relational discord in our lives. So here's an example of what that looks like. Let's say that you are having unhealthy ambition around your career. I struggle with this at times, I'll admit, but there's a version of this where we are pursuing growth in our career or a promotion or moving to a different company because we want a raise, we want more power, we want more influence. Now, some of that can be healthy, but there's an unhealthy version when it becomes selfish. When it's about meeting your needs and nobody else's, when it becomes about helping yourself feel good about yourself in a way that is not focused on the right things. Instead of having a focus on that that's going to cause selfish ambition, what if you said to yourself, I'm going to focus on putting my energy and time into the people that are already around me. I'm going to be content with my standard of living so I'm not trying to just run after more, and then I will have more focus on that. Now, what happens is if you don't have the selfish ambition, then you focus on your people. You focus on your family. You focus on your spouse, your kids, your friends, whatever it is, because that's what you're putting your time and your energy into. And then if you think about this, how this connects, if you are investing in the people in your life, then their lives are better. And you know what happens? There's relationship harmony. There's more peace because you're pursuing what matters to them. They know you care, and you see that come back to you. Not because you're trying to get paid back, as it were, but because you want to have these things growing in their lives. You want to see them blossom. You want to see them grow to their potential. You want to see people have good experiences. And when we focus on providing these for others, then we focus on that which matters the most in our lives. Another piece of this is this issue of being envious of what people have around us. Now, this is a real issue in our lives because what happens is some of this connects to the pursuit of more. But if we envy what somebody has, if we envy who they are or what they drive or what kind of a house they live in, then we pursue those things for ourselves in a disproportionate way that makes things not matter in our lives otherwise. When we get too focused on these things and are envious of what other people have, we start to get discontent with what we have in front of us. And that leads us to doing things that are harmful to ourselves, and that can lead to doing things that are harmful to others. It may not be an immediate problem, but it builds up over time because we start to do things and start to compromise on our values. We might say, I would never do something, and then all of a sudden you find yourself doing it because you're actually serving that envy of what somebody else has. Now, this is going to lead to chaos. This is going to lead to relational discord and so much lack of peace in our lives. But rather, if you are able to be content with your standard of living, as long as you have what you need to survive, which is most people in our church, and not just survive, but also to thrive and be able to pursue some good things as well, things God wants for us. When we do that, we then have a better focus on what it looks like to live how God wants us to live. There's a simplicity in that. There's a making sure that other people have what they need. And that means that you are not trying to go and be something that you're not supposed to be, to grow into something that you're not supposed to grow into. Because when we do that, we find ourselves breeding less peace and more conflict. So as we think about what this looks like for each one of us, it's going to play out differently. But it's interesting to see that the particular kind of peace that God hopes will grow in us, the particular kind of peace that James was hoping that the early church would pursue and that God is hoping that we'll pursue, is peace that is relationship harmony because we are not pursuing things that are cause of envy in our lives or not pursuing things with selfish ambition. Now, many of the people that I know are going to hear this message are very humble, very kind, very down to earth. And that's pretty much a lot of people. So part of what I'm going to wrap up in this series is in this particular message, in this particular focus on peace, I think this is just a reminder for many of us to keep doing what we're doing, to just keep those issues of envy and selfish ambition, to really keep those at bay so they don't take over in our lives. Because if they do, then we don't become who God wants us to be. And when we don't become who God wants us to be, we have more conflict and less peace in our lives. Now, I want to say one last thing as we wrap up this series and as we wrap up this conversation of becoming who God wants us to be. Don't forget that God loves you no matter what. God loves you for who you are. God loves you for who you're becoming, and God will love you for who you are in the future always. But that doesn't mean that God is not trying to help us grow. God is always trying to help us grow. But God does the hard part here. God said, I'm going to help you grow by being present in your life. God said, I'm going to give you my son to show you what true and good humanity looks like. And then God went one even further and said, I'm going to send myself, my spirit, my Holy Spirit, as we say, to come alongside you in life and to inspire you every single moment that you're paying attention to become who God wants us to be. So God gives us this picture through Galatians that God wants us to have lives that are full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And when we have that composite growing in our lives, we become who God wants us to be. We want to pursue this as best we can because that will help us become who God wants us to be, which helps others become who God wants them to be, and helps the world become God's dream come true. Would you please pray with me? God, we are grateful that you are a God who is present in our lives. And we are grateful that you love us enough to meet us where we are in life, that you will love us no matter what, but also that you love us such that you give us a vision for what it looks like to grow in you so that others experience your love as well. God, we ask that the fruit of your spirit grow in us so that we become more and more the people you want us to be. Help us to admit when we need help from others and help from you to pursue this. And God, when all this comes true, we know that we are who you call us to be. We know that your world becomes a more just, equitable experience for all people. And God, we ask that you help us to pursue this as best we can, as much as we can. We pray this in your name. Amen.